This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
6:15 on this Friday morning, and it's chilly outside right now. A cold start, I'd say cold, 48 degrees, and it's going up to 75 today, so a beautiful spring day. Yesterday was just gorgeous. Today is going to be beautiful. Get out and enjoy it, because before you know it, it's going to be miserably hot and humid in summertime, so you got to enjoy these days. We don't get that many of them. Tomorrow, though, it's going to be rainy with a high of 74, but that's good because it clears out in time for Sunday. And the parades that are scheduled, Barkus and the trucks going down St. Charles Avenue, as I understand it, highs of 71 then. Looking ahead to next week, and again, daylight saving time starts tomorrow night, Sunday morning. So tomorrow night before you go to bed, you want to set your clock ahead 1 hour, spring forward, which means you lose an hour's sleep. I know that might seem like an oversimplification, but it can get confusing. And then for the next week, you'll have some nice weather to enjoy that extra hour of daylight in the afternoon. Highs of 70 on Monday, 73 on Tuesday. Plenty of sunshine extending into about 7 o'clock. 75 on Wednesday, then a chance for showers Thursday. And the weekend's looking pretty good. Warming up as it should for the middle of March. And I'm trying to look when sunset is. Sunrise at 6:17, sunset at 6:03, which means after daylight saving time comes in, you'll have until 7 o'clock for outdoor activities, etc. We're trying to connect with a guest to talk about what's going on with budget reconciliation and DOGE, because Elon Musk and DOGE is getting a lot of the headlines. But what you got to watch out for in these deals is, where's the real money being spent? And are they playing a game of misdirection where it's like, yeah, we're cutting $100 here and $200. It's kind of like in a household, right, where the husband and wife are playing games with each other, or whomever it is, the significant others. And they're saying, look, I saved $100 on gas here and I saved $20 here. But meanwhile, they're out getting fitted for custom golf clubs for $2,000, or the other way around, where or either one, depending. I'm not trying to be sexist about this at all, but the wife's doing something and spending a lot of money on something while making it seem as though she's saving a couple of dollars on this or that, and meanwhile the budget's going down a drain. And that's kind of what's happening in the country. And I think what makes this difficult for a lot of people is, and I've used this phrase before, a lot of this stuff is in the weeds. You've heard that expression, right? Because it's where all the policy is and all the complicated stuff is. And you got to have a legal pad in front of you and write down a flow chart with circles. And this leads to that, to that. Well, wait, but that could mean this. And the public doesn't have, in a lot of situations, the patience or the time, the wherewithal to do that. And unfortunately, that's where the details is. And the analogy I've made is, a lot of this stuff is in the weeds. But if you've ever played golf for money, that's where most of the cheating goes on, right? Where the weeds are high and nobody can really see what's going on and who's moving the ball and this and that and the other thing. And I think that's what we have to watch out for as it relates to so-called plans to reduce debt and deficit. Are they really, by making these cuts that get a lot of attention and a lot of publicity, but meanwhile, the network news and the newspapers either don't have the time or the resources, or the public doesn't have the wherewithal to go through all of this and understand exactly what it means? Because it seems as though both parties constantly say they want to cut debt, they want to cut deficit, they do tax cuts to keep one class happy or the other class happy, or maybe both, doing away with taxes on tips, for example, but that's got to be cut somewhere. And as a young person, I know I always thought, well, if you have a surplus, that means you're collecting too much taxes. And in a way, that's true. But in another way, it's not that simple, because you have to look at what services the government provides. You have to realize that there's going to be, in the retail world, they call it shrinkage, where stuff's going to get stolen and there's going to be inefficiency. It's going to happen. And I don't think it's realistic to think that federal employees or state employees or city employees are going to be any more diligent than employees in the private sector, because let's face it, we've all been in places where we've seen this worker or that one leaning on the counter drinking coffee or doing this or chatting up the receptionist when there should be work to do. And it goes back to our first jobs in high school, right? Well, how many times were you told when you had your job in high school, you got time to lean, you got time to clean? So I think to believe that any government employee is going to work nonstop, you know what, against the wall, and just there's going to be no waste, no inefficiency at all, is not realistic. That being said, we do have to decide who can help themselves and who can't help themselves, and give those that can help themselves the opportunity, the economic opportunity, to work and help themselves and provide that. We also have to make sure that as a society, I think we're better and we take care of those who legitimately cannot. That's what government is all about, right? As well as taking care of the basic things. Problem is, when it comes to the legislative process and no line item veto, no term limits, and you'll never see this, that's why the governor here has line item veto, the president doesn't. That's why you see so much pork barrel spending, where they'll attach this onto that bill that has absolutely nothing to do with anything, but they hold it hostage. And that's the vote trading process in Congress as well, as, okay, well, I need this to pass. I'd only really agree with the money you want for your district to spend there, but I'm going to go ahead and trade votes for it. And that's how we wind up in the mess that we're in. 621, quick look at traffic now, WWL. 27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined now by Rob Fry from the National Weather Service. Look ahead to the weekend, because we had trouble on Mardi Gras, which led to the cancellation of some parades. Also, the rescheduling of some for this weekend, but now we have a little weather threat this weekend. Let's talk about it. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me what's going to happen this weekend with the weather. First of all, yesterday was splendid. Today is going to be splendid, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a little crisp this morning, a little fresh out there, but I'm going to warm up today, a little bit warmer than yesterday. We're looking at 70s across the board today, so it should be a pretty good day. Now, as you mentioned, all the stuff going on this weekend, all the rescheduled things out there. Well, Saturday's looking a bit rough in terms of all that. Right now, it's not anything comparable to what, you know, we dealt with earlier in the week, with all the wind and all the severe weather. But we do have a marginal risk for some severe weather. Main threat would actually be large hail. And outside of that,
see,
it's kind of messy and rainy.
Having replaced a roof a couple of years ago with this big hailstorm, it was more about 10 years ago, I guess. Now, I don't want to hear about large hail, Rob. I'm sorry to disappoint you there, but I don't want to hear about that at all. What kind of chances for large hail, and where, and what's the time frame on that?
Well, the best chance for severe weather tomorrow looks to be in the afternoon and early evening time frame. Right now, it's not it's a marginal risk. It's a category 1 out of 5, if you will. So it's the lowest on the scale there. But again, it's something we can't rule out. There's also a chance for some wind gusts in there too. maybe even a weak tornado or two possible in there, but that would be more closer to the coast. So I think that would be south, way south, way down toward the coastal areas there.
So sometimes it seems like the tornado threats are north of the lake. This is going to be more south of the lake in this case?
Yeah, in this case, it all depends on where we can get the warm sector, basically where the surface low will track, and then anything south of that will be a little bit warmer. Anything north will be a little bit cooler. And that's the thing. When I say cooler, I also mean also aloft, 10 to 25,000 feet. We got a little bit of cold air coming in, and that may actually help with that hail potential, unfortunately.
Uh-oh. Tell me about Sunday. How are we looking there for the rescheduled events?
Well, everything should be moving east. There may be a lingering shower or two early in the morning, but right now it looks like most of Sunday should be rain-free for us. It looks like maybe some decreasing clouds later in the day as well. A little bit cooler, just a skosh cooler, but not anything that we're going to really recognize. I mean, we're looking at, instead of mid-70s, we're talking upper 60s, lower 70s.
And partly cloudy in the afternoon?
Yeah, definitely decreasing clouds later in the day.
All right, so daylight saving time coming in, less sunlight. I guess that has a big change on the climate, right? Just kidding. Thank you, Rob. Have a good day.
Oh, you got jokes. All right.
Yeah,
likewise.
I do. That's what I pay me. Thank you. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Rob Fry, thank you. National Weather Service. Appreciate it. So chance for hail, man. That hail, once you replace a roof with that deductible, hail will scare the hail out of you. Right now, time for WWO First News. 6:45, quarter till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. So you got a beautiful day today. Then you got a chance for showers tomorrow afternoon, early evening. Maybe large hail is what the meteorologist from the National Weather Service told us, which if you've ever had to replace a roof because of large hail and pay that big deductible, you don't want any part of that, believe me. So let's hope that doesn't happen. And then by Sunday, it all clears out. You got, as a matter of fact, text me on the Oconar Jeweler Talking text line at 504-260-1870. And let me know if you're going to the truck parades, because I think the first one starts at 11.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11, then 11:30 on a traditional route on Sunday. And I'd like to see what the turnout is for those. So let me know. One thing that always amazes me about these truck parades is sometimes I'll have a hard time going to sleep at night with perfect conditions and the weather and the sheets clean and everything else. But yet, I've also been on a neutral ground on St. Charles Avenue, 11:30, sun shining in my face. Those 18-wheelers going by, and I'm sound asleep. Jeff Palermo joins us now, who is the WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Let's talk about them Tigers and the LSU baseball team.
Well, one final tune-up, if you would, before you begin SEC play next weekend against Missouri. They'll be welcoming North Alabama to the box. North Alabama, not a great team, just 3 wins so far on the season. But, again, it's a tune-up, and the way the schedule works out, it kind of acts like a weekend SEC series, meaning you're playing tonight, you're playing tomorrow night, then you got the day game on Sunday. So you can get the body right to get into that rhythm of playing on Friday and Saturday nights and then coming back on Sunday for that final game. No changes to the LSU weekend rotation. It's still going to be Cade Anderson tonight, Anthony Ianson on Saturday, and then Chase Shores on Sunday. So, and then another weekend here to give some of these other guys in the bullpen an opportunity to get out there, try to continue to figure out what roles everybody's going to be fitting into. It looks like, you know, Cason Evans has certainly done a nice job as the closer with Gavin Guidry still sidelined with his back injury, and Guidry will not pitch again this weekend. They do have another midweek game Tuesday before you get into SEC play, and I think Jay Johnson is targeting that Tuesday for Gavin Guidry to finally make his season debut.
Tell me about the way the team's shaken out as opposed to what we thought it was going to be and how it's looking, both pitching, hitting, bullpen, etc.
Well, I think it's been a really good start. You only have the one blemish, the one loss to Omaha. I think the offense has really come around nicely. You've seen guys like – I think some of the big question marks going into the year was, okay, Daniel Dickinson had a really good year at Utah Valley. Is that going to translate here? And so far it has. Now, granted, he hasn't faced SEC pitching, but he really performed very well last week in Texas where you're going up against some really good teams there in Nebraska and Kansas State and Dallas Baptist. And Derek Curio, how is the freshman going to make the transition from high school to college baseball? And the guy just looks like a natural out there, not only in left field, but in the leadoff position. Chris Stanfield has done a really nice job in center field, and I think they found a spot with him in the lineup, batting ninth. Right field was such a competitive position because he had multiple guys that could play there, from Jake Brown to Josh Pearson to Ashton Larson to Ethan Frye, and I think they found a bit of a rotation there. Ethan Frye is kind of the odd man out at this point, and Luis Hernandez has established himself, I believe, as your starting catcher. They still need to improve there defensively. Hernandez is still trying to make progress there, but he seems to be the guy at this point. And then, as I mentioned, the starting pitching has been really good. It hasn't been great. There's been each guy has had its issues here or there, but it's certainly done its job. It's they're going out there. They're giving you 5-6 innings, keeping the team in the game. And then some of these guys out of the bullpen have kind of figured out their roles. I mentioned Kaysen Evans, but you got Zach Cowan and Connor Bench. Those two guys have been really good. So William Schmidt and Connor Ware have looked good at times as your weekend starters, or weekday starters, I should say. So a lot of guys have emerged. There's a lot here with Jay Johnson to work with. The depth is still, I think, what kind of sets this team apart from other teams in the country and why they're ranked number one and two in the respective polls.
Who's strongest in the SEC, stronger in the SEC? I'm looking ahead at the LSU schedule here.
In the first half of the SEC schedule for LSU is not that bad. It's very, very manageable. You remember last year they went through a rough spot playing some of the better teams in conference play, got off to the 3-12 start. This time around, LSU opens up against Missouri, and Missouri is – you know, one of the lightweights in the Southeastern Conference when it comes to baseball. And now it's the second half of the season this year where LSU faces its tougher competition, when they got to play Tennessee, when they got to play Arkansas. Tennessee and Arkansas are ranked in the top five with LSU. So those are the two tough teams. Texas A&M, who was the preseason number one, LSU will face later on in the season. Now, the Aggies have struggled. They recently lost 4 in a row. And they're still trying to figure some things out. But you know, by the time you play them in, I think it's like late April, early May, Texas A&M may be a much better team then than they are now.
Yeah, I was resting Her Majesty, well, Rex's Queen, whatever the title is, because she's an Arkansas student, about LSU beating them and beating Arkansas in football, and she came back with the baseball thing. So 650, and then she did the cheer, too, to her credit. She did the ooh, however you do
boy.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. See, but it was royalty, Jeff. It was Mardi Gras. It's royalty.
You couldn't talk back, could you?
No, not on that day, no, but today certainly I could. 652, 8 till 7, traffic now. More when we come back on WWL. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. If you go to WWL.com, you'll find a lot of valuable LSU stuff that he writes and posts on there, one of which is about LSU and their new defensive line coach. Talk about that, Jeff, if you would, please.
Big surprise. Kind of came out of nowhere when the news started to leak on Thursday. I mean, LSU had certainly done an extensive search looking for a defensive line coach ever since Bo Davis left last week to join Kellen Moore's staff with the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, they talked to Florida's defensive line coach. They talked with Ole Miss's defensive line coach. The buyout was a little bit too high, especially for a position coach. So LSU, it seemed like Al Davis was the guy, a Missouri defensive line coach. It seemed like he was going to be the one to replace Bo Davis. And then all of a sudden here, it's looks like it's going to be Kyle Williams, and LSU starting spring football on Saturday. And Kyle Williams is expected to be there working with the defensive line coach. Now, Kyle Williams was a terrific player at LSU, an All-American in 2005, was on the 03 national championship team, played 13 seasons for the Buffalo Bills when Buffalo was a bad football team, and he was the best player on the team and went to 6 Pro Bowls and was a fan favorite. And he retired after the 2018 season, took 2019 off, then became the defensive coordinator at Ruston High School in 2020. In the last 3 years, Ruston has played in the state championship game, winning in it in 2023, and he was a big part of it. And he stepped away in January, and the belief was he wanted to spend some more time with his family. He's got 5 kids, all age ranges from 8 to 17, 18 years old, and the girls are in soccer and all that. And but apparently when LSU came calling, he couldn't turn it down. So it's a great hire, I think, considering where we're at in the juncture of the calendar. Yeah, okay, Kyle Williams doesn't have recruiting experience, but today, Tommy, in recruiting, it's all about money.
I was getting ready to say that, Jeff. I swear to goodness. I was going to ask you, my next question was, when it comes to assistant coaches, it used to be about a combination of being able to coach and being able to recruit. But now, really, the recruiting part of it, it's all about the money, is it not?
Yeah, it's all about the money. And so, and he had offers to coach in the NFL. So NFL teams looked at him as someone that can do it. And so I think what Brian Kelly, and we won't hear from Brian Kelly until Tuesday. That's when he will finally meet with the media, even though spring football opens on Saturday. I think what they probably told him is, look, we just need you to develop these guys on the defensive line. Ahmad Bro is a guy that was at Ruston High School when they won a state championship in 2023. So Kyle Williams is very familiar with him. You got Dominic McKinley, a former 5-star prospect out of Acadiana. And I think what makes Kyle Williams such an interesting guy to be a coach, this guy's been in the NFL for 13 years. And what do players, when they come to LSU, what do they want to do when they leave LSU? Well, they want to go to the NFL and have a 10-year career there. And Kyle Williams can show him the way. And it's not like Kyle Williams was this massive guy as a defensive tackle. He was an undersized player.
6'1", right?
298. Yeah. I mean, and he wasn't drafted until the 5th round. So this is a guy that kind of knows because of his – he knows technique. And he obviously can coach it on the high school level. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different on the college level. But the guy's passionate about football. He's knowledgeable about football. He loves LSU. And so, again, I think at this point, this is a hire that I think everybody thinks it's a good one.
Jeff, we only have 30 seconds left. I got to ask you, when it comes to recruiting, who now is doing, if you want to call it recruiting or the scouting? I don't know.
Well, the assistant coaches are still, you know, a big part of recruiting and still trying to develop relationships. But, you know, again, it all kind of comes down to money, but still assistant. And Kyle, I'm sure, will still be a part of that, and he'll learn and grow into that. But it's not so much of a necessity as it was before.
All right, Jeff, thank you. I appreciate it, man. Good job as always. Excellent articles posted at WWL.com. Good job calling a game the other day, too. I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you, Tommy.
You bet. WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. We'll come back, talk about insurance reform and more on WWL.